Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, it's the last day of the working week. It is Friday. And for those of you who are looking forward to a fabulous weekend, I know how you feel, but we're going to be talking today about a subject matter all of us have had to deal with. And some people have more of a problem with it than others. What is that problem? Procrastination, the big P word, yes. Well, today we're going to be talking with Gloria Aronson, and we're going to be talking about an emotional freedom technique, EFT is the abbreviation for it, and we're going to be finding out how this can help us eliminate something like procrastination and maybe some other areas of concern we might have. Gloria, welcome to the show.
I'm delighted to be with you.
Now, Gloria, you are a psychotherapist. Am I correct?
I'm a marriage family therapist.
And you've been in that positioning for how long?
29 years.
What made you decide to go into that professional arena?
To become a therapist? Well, I came in really through the back door because I started life as a teacher and found myself at a crossroads in my life where I just could not teach children anymore, and I started to teach adults.
Mm-hmm.
And at our local adult education facility, I tried to think of what it was that I knew about that I could teach adults. And at that time, one of my specialties was eating disorders, and especially compulsive eating, and I started to teach classes in overcoming compulsive eating. And what happened was people would phone me and they'd say, look, there's something I want to talk about. I just can't talk about it in class. Can I come see you?
Mm-hmm.
And I developed a little non-professional practice and eventually gave a lecture at a counseling center. And the director said to me, why don't you get licensed? And so I did.
Amazing.
But meanwhile, I had truly started through education, and I think that's what therapy is. It's re-education.
I agree. I think that that is a very good way to describe it. Now, emotional freedom techniques. Before we went on air, I was telling you that I had met a perfect stranger in an airport about 2 years ago and learned about this particular technique. Who developed this technique?
Gary Craig, a wonderfully resourceful and talented man.
And you were one of the first people, or what I would say one of the originators, of utilizing this technique in the practice?
I was kind of among the first wave of people who latched on. Yes, and just found that this process was mind-blowing.
Let's talk about procrastination. It's one thing to sort of grit your teeth and say, well, I really don't want to do this, and eventually you get to it. That's a minor form of procrastination. And then you have other people that have such procrastination problems that they don't move.
Absolutely.
And they are literally frozen. I mean, so we've got the tremendous spectrum here, 180 degrees,
right,
that we could go from one point to another. When did procrastination itself become such an interest to you where you found that you needed to write this book?
Well, it was around the time I was teaching classes for compulsive eaters, and I read an article in Psychology Today magazine about some people who had written a book about procrastination, and in reading their approach and how they dealt with it, I thought, you know what? This is how I deal with people with compulsive eating. It's not a bad habit. Procrastination is a compulsion. It is the inability to stop stopping yourself. And once I saw it from that point of view, and I happened to be married to a procrastinator.
Oh boy, how does he do that?
I started to look at the problem up close and personal. And I started to apply what I knew about compulsion to procrastination. And what I discovered was that, you know, everybody procrastinates.
Oh, sure.
But my work is for those people for whom procrastination has negative consequences in their lives that are pretty startling. And I know that because I procrastinate too, but only occasionally. But for people who regularly procrastinate, and what I discovered was that no amount of saying, you know, use your time better, clean off your desk, punish yourself if you don't keep your promise to yourself that you're going to finish this job, it doesn't work. Because the underlying root of procrastination is fear. And fear will stop us cold. So no amount of game playing is going to make someone do something that they're really terrified of doing.
That's very true. Now, give us an example of the worst-case scenario that, in your mind that you can think of at this time of an extremely serious situation with a procrastinator.
I had a client once who did not open his mailbox and therefore did not pay his mortgage. And eventually the bank told him they were foreclosing.
Now, how did he find out that they were foreclosing? They must have called him because he never opened his mailbox.
I guess they must have called him. And fortunately, he had a good relationship with the bank. I live in a small city, and, you know, they knew him, and he was able to rescue his house.
Wow.
But he just couldn't bring himself to open the mail and pay his bills.
Now, did you work with this man to the point where he was able to finally do that? What was it about a mailbox that was so intimidating to him?
It wasn't really about a mailbox. This was a man who was around 50. He was divorced, living by himself, and every few weeks his mother would help him pay his bills. I don't mean that she paid for him, but it was like she came over and she sat with him, or she paid for him, you know.
Right.
And his mother always took care of him. And when his mother died, his sister actually traveled 50 miles every few weeks to do the same thing with him.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
This was a person who needed to be taken care of. And one of the fears I talk about, because there are five different kinds of fears, is what I call, I don't want to, you can't make me, which is a kind of fear of authority. And in this man's case, it was really a fear of not being taken care of. And so if he put off things long enough, someone would come and rescue him.
Amazing. Now, did he ever get past this?
Yes, he did.
Good.
Yes,
good.
He did. But he was one of that was a very dramatic experience to have your house just about foreclosed.
Yes, that would be pretty intense.
Yeah. You know, a common negative consequence is when people don't pay their bills on time, and then they have terrible the credit card penalties grow.
You say that your clients are born perfect and golden. Life, however, has thrown dirt on them. That's how you like to describe people. And I thought that was a very good way of saying that life's experiences create challenges for us, and it's what we do with them that makes all the difference. But you say procrastination, as we all know, is all about avoidance.
Yes.
And we have to ask ourselves why we want to avoid it. And that's very significant. Now, you also go into compulsions in this book.
Yes.
On procrastination. And you say procrastination is a compulsion. I mean, are we talking about the extreme on the compulsion or the procrastination chart here? Or how would you describe a procrastination as a compulsion?
Well, as I said, my definition of compulsion is if you can't control when you start or stop an activity or a substance, you have a compulsion. And so the activity that these people cannot control is completing. They can't get started or they can't finish. They are powerless over it.
Mm-hmm. You mention an author that I've enjoyed, and his name is Emmett Fox. I don't know how many of my listeners are familiar with him. And you talk about a fable about a man who had been put into a dungeon without a trial, and he had been there for 20 years. Finally, the prisoner couldn't stand it any longer, so he decided he was going to attack the jailer the next day, and he hoped the jailer would kill him and put him out of his misery. When he went to the cell door, he tried the handle and was shocked to find the door opened. It had never been locked, but he didn't know it. He was a captive not of stone of iron, but of false belief.
Yes.
The man was living in a prison created by his thought. That is such a powerful, powerful fable.
I know. Even as you read that, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I think it's so profound. It's so profound. You see, procrastination is a result of fear. And the fear arises as the result of thoughts about experiences. And it all boils down to what happens in our brain. You see, when we are, well, from the time we're born, things happen to us. And let's say that you are in kindergarten and the teacher embarrasses you in front of the class. And in that moment, you are just mortified.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a decision, and the decision could be, it could be there's something wrong with me. It could be I'm not smart enough. I'm not as smart as other people. Or it simply could be this was so horrible I felt like I was going to die and I'll never let this happen to me again. Now, that decision is stored in the brain along with the memory. And as we get older, whenever anything happens that in any way is reminiscent of that teacher, that experience, or that feeling, the brain reacts as if it's happening again, and the old beliefs come up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you decide that I'm never going to let this happen to me again because it felt like I was going to die, and this was true of a client of mine who was a very bright woman who had a very low-paying job. And she put off looking for work. That was what she was procrastinating about. It turned out that the reason she put off looking for work was she was in a job that she could keep a very low profile and no one would embarrass her or even know she existed.
Mm-hmm.
And if she got a better job, she might work for a boss who criticized her.
Amazing.
And she would feel as if she was going to die.
How did she get past that?
Well, one of the things that I use with everybody is EFT.
EFT.
The thing about EFT, which is an acupressure technique, is that as we stimulate, and I just use 8 acupressure points, mostly on the face, as we stimulate these points by gently tapping or touching them, it raises the serotonin in the brain. And the serotonin is a soothing chemical. The serotonin floods the part of the brain where all of the fear is stored, and that's called the amygdala. And as the person recalls or even re-experiences the early fear, it floods that part of the brain and it disconnects the trigger. So you can remember the memory, but you simply stop reacting.
You talk about EFT being like a cake recipe. Explain that.
Like a cake recipe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically what you do is there are different steps to it, and we could say those are the layers. And so we start with what we call the setup, which means that we're, what is it that we want to treat? What is the problem or the memory or the emotion that's bothering us?
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we start by focusing on that. And we tap on the edge of our hand as we do that. And then the next step is that we do the tapping of the rest of the acupressure points as we remind ourselves what we're treating ourselves for. And then there are, now I use a shortened version, but in the longer version, there is another set of tapping. And often we could think of that as, let's say, the chocolate layer
mm-hmm.
between the two pieces of cake. And then we repeat the original 8 tapping points. So we could say that's like a layer cake.
Give us an example of how you did this with a client and what a particular challenge was and how you guided them through this.
Okay, I'll give you a very, very simple and short one. There was a gentleman who had, again, divorced, and he had remodeled his house all by himself. And he was terribly frustrated because 99% of the house was finished, and he just kept putting off putting the knobs back on the cabinets in the kitchen. And no matter what he did, he kept putting it off. And so one of the things that I did was I asked him, Joe, what are you afraid will happen if you put the knobs back on? Now, I always say this because, as I said before, there is fear underneath the behavior of procrastination. And one would think, what could anyone be afraid of that would make them not put knobs back on the cabinet? Doesn't make sense. And so he started to tap on this, you know, even though I'm afraid and I don't know what I'm afraid of, you know, I'm really frustrated, but I'm treating myself now. And after a few rounds of tapping, I said, did you notice anything? And he said, well, I guess if I put the knobs up, I'll have to have people come over. And I said, okay, let's tap on that. Okay, even though, you know, I guess there's something about people coming over that scares me, and I'm afraid of socializing, I'm tapping on that now. And after we tapped a little bit, he looked at me, and I said, and what are you afraid will happen then? And he said, I'll have to get married again.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that was the fear.
Down to him being afraid. All of these little things. We have these layers. We're like onions.
Right.
And we have these various layers inside of ourselves. And that's what you did. He actually, through the tapping technique, peeled away the layers.
That's right.
To confront it. And logic would say, well, he doesn't have to get married again just because he remodeled the inside of his house, for heaven's sake.
Sure, but our minds are so funny, and they're very metaphorical. There was a woman in a workshop that I taught whose goal was to clean off her desk, which is a very common goal. And you would think, what has a desk got to do with anything? And what she discovered was, if I clean up my desk, I'll have to clean up my life, and I might have to divorce my husband.
Oh, so the divorce was at the basis of not
right.
getting certain things done.
Right. And I call that the fear of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And when people have what I call the fear of the future, they're totally unaware of what the future is that they are predicting for themselves, because it's removed from the actual activity that they are putting off.
Fascinating. Well, if someone, let's say like myself, had a habit of not getting certain things done, and you just kept putting it off. There's always a reason. You always will find something to do, and you wanted to do it. Now, in your book, you say there's a setup, correcting psychological reversal,
mm-hmm.
which is just what you've been talking about. It's getting to the core of whatever may be causing the disruption, being able to look at it, and then going through this process. And you're working with your own mind when you're doing it. And you said something in here about saying an affirmation 3 times and simultaneously tapping on the Karate Chop print. You have a basic affirmation in here. You say, even though I have this, and then there's a blank, you fill in whatever you want, I deeply and completely accept myself. Now, why wouldn't you say in the affirmation, I am able to do whatever I want to do? What
well,
is the purpose
because
with
you
these
don't
words?
Believe it. You know, if you're able to do whatever you want to do, you wouldn't have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the affirmation can be anything positive. That, for instance, the general one is I deeply love and accept myself. Some people might say I am a child of God. Other people might say, well, I can't believe that I don't accept myself. And I say to those people, well, could you say I'm doing the best I can? Or simply, I'm giving myself a treatment for that problem now. So
uh-huh.
in other words, you want to state what the problem or situation is that you want to treat, and then say something positive that feels good to you.
Now, you say with the tapping process, and by the way, this is EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques for Procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
You say you can tap with either hand, but it's usually more convenient to do so with your dominant hand. If you're right-handed, use your right hand. If you're left-handed, use your left hand. And you tap with the fingertips of your index finger and middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you tap with those 2 fingers?
I think because it's the easiest.
All right.
Seriously. And, you know, let me just say, and also because there are very few of us who are acupuncturists.
Mm-hmm.
And if we use 2 fingers, we're pretty sure we're covering the right point.
I
you know,
see.
An acupuncturist mm-hmm. Has a little needle, and they know exactly where the point is. And we pretty much know where the point is, but we are not professional acupuncturists.
Now, you talk about 6, let me see, you've got 6, 7, you've got 8 points. You've got the points at the beginning of the eyebrow, just above and to the mm-hmm. side of the nose, and then you have a point on the side of the eye, under the eye, on the bone under the eye, about 1 inch below your pupil,
mm-hmm.
under the nose, which is right there between the bottom of the nose and the top of your upper lip.
Right.
The chin, between the point of your chin and the bottom of your lower lip, just in
that
indentation.
It's that little indentation, yeah.
Yes. And then you've got 2 points on the collarbone.
Yes.
And then you have also under the arm,
mm-hmm.
a tapping onto the arm, and also below the nipple on the body, whether it's the female or the male. And all of these points, you see, once you memorize all of these points, you have a friendship with your own nervous system, your own meridians,
mm-hmm.
that enable you to overcome various things. Tell us
right.
how you've used it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know our motto. Our motto is use it for everything.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And one of the things that I do, and I really suggest this to all of my clients, and I did write another book called 5 Simple Steps to Emotional Healing, where I go into greater detail about the general use of EFT. I do what I call a daily workout every day. And that is that I start my day off first by just noticing if I'm stressed about anything. And I just, the way I do it is I take a deep breath and let it out. And if my breath isn't deep and satisfying, but it's shallow and tight, I know something is stressing me. and I simply tap, even though I'm stressed and I'm not breathing deeply, I'm deeply love and accept myself. And usually two rounds of tapping and my breath has deepened. So I know immediately I have relaxed myself and taken away some stress.
Now, you say you can include everything, even what may be unnecessary.
Well, I don't know about unnecessary, but the next thing I do is I ask myself, is there anything bothering me today? And it might be, gee, I have to take my car in and I'm afraid it's going to cost me a lot of money. Or it could be, I think that my cat is sick and I better call the doctor. Or, you know, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could be it's raining too much. And I tap on whatever it is that's bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And just maybe 5 minutes worth of tapping absolutely changes my attitude. And one of my clients calls this weed whacking.
I
love that. We take away the edge. But I'll tell you one of the latest, I mean, I do this every day. I practice what I preach.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you tap, the more you will tap. And a few months ago, my husband had to go into the emergency room, and we thought he was having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
He was very calm. I was hysterical. I sat in that emergency room for 3 hours with him. Fortunately, he was not having a heart attack. His heart was in great shape. It was something else. And he was just calm, and I was tapping and tapping and tapping for my anxiety and my fear, and was able to calm myself and be there for him and for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was over, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about EFT is once you know how to do it, you will be amazed at all of the times and ways you can do it. Another way is if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you can't get back to sleep, which is very common. I usually, at that point, don't necessarily tap as much as I just gently hold the points because I don't want to disturb my husband. So I just hold the points. And I just say, even though I'm wide awake and hating it, I deeply love and accept myself. And then I just hold the points and say, I'm releasing wide awake or hating wide awake. And I have nothing else to do. I am just lying there wide awake. And within a few minutes, I start to yawn and I get back to sleep.
This is something that's so simple.
Yes.
How did Gary discover this?
Well, the person who originally started using meridian tapping was a psychologist named Roger Callahan, who had studied both psychology and kinesiology. And Gary was one of his students who improved on the original to such an extent that it is changing the world now.
Amazing. Now, when you have some real good questions in your book that people can answer to, you know, in the privacy of their own home, and your
right.
book is so compact you can put it in a briefcase, tip it into your desk, but it really creates a lot of thought in my evaluation. The questions you have in your book are, what benefits do you receive from the problem that you have? Does keeping the problem feel safe? Does releasing it feel dangerous? Does keeping the problem generate sympathy from others that you won't receive if you're well? Does keeping the problem allow you to avoid unpleasant situations? Does keeping the problem give you financial rewards that you won't receive if you get well? Do you feel you don't deserve to get over the problem? Do you feel that if you get better, something bad will happen? These are questions that many times I think if we can be honest with ourselves and answer these kinds of questions, we might be surprised.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, if you answer yes, then you can just tap on it, even though, you know, I'm holding on to this problem because, and I do tell stories later on in the book of people who really hurt themselves in trying to get even with people who they thought owed them something. mm-hmm. you know, either love or money, and saying, how much do I have to hurt before you will give me what you owe me? And these are usually things that stem from childhood.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, so this is not just a silly habit. Procrastination has roots that can go back to very, very poignant and even terrible experiences, that the trauma is still there. And EFT can actually heal the trauma of the past.
Gloria Aronson has been my guest today. If this intrigues you, what have you got to lose? Why not check it out and try it? But why not get her book, EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques for Procrastination? If there are things that you are just really concerned about, this could really help. You have a website, Gloria, that's Gloria Aronson, and that's GloriaAronson .com. And you'll be able to find all kinds of information on her website. Gloria, we're out of time. We're going to have to go. Thank you so much for being my guest today. And I wish you the best of success and keep on that tapping. I just think it's a great technique.
Thank you so much.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Don't go away. More good things to come.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hip, hip, huzzah! My lords and ladies, come one, come all, to the 11th Annual Washington Renaissance Fair at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington, during the first 3 weekends in August, beginning August 1st. Bring family and friends to become part of the excitement, cheering for your favorite knight as he jousts for noble causes. Gain an audience with Her Majesty the Queen as she knights young lords and ladies, or enjoy a tankard of ale and a turkey leg, experiencing the wonders of the Renaissance.
Live the legend!
Gates open 10 o'clock.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. I invite you to give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. The telephone number toll-free is 888-815-9756. That's 888 1-800-815-9756. Now, if you're listening to the show for the first time, all you need to know is that I just want to know your first name or your initial when you call in. After that, you are welcome to ask me about anything that you like. And then we are going to chat a bit, and you can ask me, again, whatever you like. And it's that simple. It's pain-free. And, again, call me at 888-815-9756. You've just heard the ad regarding the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Weekend number 2 is coming up, and the temperatures are dramatically cooler than they were last weekend. And it's going to be so nice and comfortable. We'll be in the 70s. It's going to be absolutely perfect to bring yourself and your family out to this event that just is totally magical. When you walk through the gates, you are going to be aware of a wonderful, wonderful environment that'll put you back in time. Now be sure to go to their website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, RENFAIRE.com. Where you'll get all of the details. All of my passes are gone. I have no more free passes left. By the way, if a listener, Benjamin Bagavi, he had called me for a ticket. He was one of the people that received a free pass. I need to have him call me because his mail came back, so I want to be sure that he gets the ticket. So if there's anyone listening to the show that knows Benjamin, please have him call my office as soon as possible, 800-872-8852, so I can get this ticket to him. Now, again, give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 888-815-9756. Tomatoes, they are one of the best foods I think you could ever want to eat. And as a woman that has had an Italian background, tomatoes, my goodness, were included in just about anything and everything, and tomatoes and onions to an Italian are just seemingly mandatory, along with the olive oil and your oregano and your basil and all that kind of stuff. It just seems to have a magical presence to it when you are cooking, and it just makes everything smell good and taste good, and it's just wonderful. But tomatoes are a fruit, or you can call it a vegetable, whichever is your preference, but I think basically it is a fruit that is absolutely amazing. And do you know that due to advances in production and transportation technology and quality improvements that have been developed, they have been able to meet the demand for fresh market tomatoes? U.S. consumption of fresh tomatoes grew 71% from 15.4 pounds per person in 1991, 15.4 pounds per person. That's a year. That's a lot of tomatoes. To 20.7 pounds per person in 2006. Now, in the U.S., our domestic growth with that increased over from 3.87 billion pounds in 91 to 5.79 billion pounds in 2006. That was an increase of 1.91 billion pounds. Imports claimed 56% of that growth by increasing 1.08 billion pounds. Now, the tomato market had declined from 1992 to 1996 here in the States, but it increased after 1996 when U.S. growers successfully petitioned the U.S. International Trade Commission for relief from imported tomatoes that were unfairly dumped on our U.S. markets. Now, what that agreement did, it led to a greater discipline of imports from Mexico, which appear to have benefited both the U.S. and the foreign markets. Now, greenhouse-grown tomatoes, they are becoming so popular. Why? Because pesticides are not being used. There's a whole new development in farming that has evolved over the last 16 years, and it's been with greenhouse-grown tomatoes. And they have overtaken the field-grown tomatoes. It started at about 2005 as the largest segment of imported fresh market tomatoes. Why again? Because there's a changing market. Consumers want more vine-ripened and specialty-type tomatoes when they go to their supermarkets. Now, mature green tomatoes and that's usually supplied by growers here in the United States, still command a larger share of the food service trade. Now, with tomatoes, when they're picked green, often they're gassed, and that's why so many times when you will go into a store, and they're stored, that's the only way they can do it to the best of their knowledge at this time, but you go into the store and you see a gorgeous tomato, but you bite into it and it tastes like, well, I don't want to say cardboard because that's not an adequate description, but it has no flavor. If ever you have eaten a fresh tomato, and here in Yakima, Washington, oh, I had a friend bring back just like a half a bushel of grown tomatoes out of the field, and they don't use much in the way of pesticides. They're very careful about what they do. And the flavor of those tomatoes were awesome. And when I canned them, they were terrific during the winter months. I used them as sauces on pasta and with different types of meats like chicken or beef, and it was terrific. It just made a wonderful meal all by itself. So the areas in the United States for fresh market tomatoes, it's concentrated in the southeastern area of the United States, also California, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia produced 2.11 billion pounds of fresh market tomatoes in 2006, or roughly 57% of all fresh market tomatoes that were produced in the U.S. Now, California by itself produced 1.14 billion pounds, or roughly 33% of the U.S. total production, and the rest of the country produced less than 10% of all the fresh market tomatoes grown in 2006. Now, the concentration in various areas of the company with growth, apparently Florida is the single largest producer of fresh market tomatoes, and that state has lost its market share to other producers who increased their production by a substantial amount since 1991. However, for some reason, we are importing more and more from the outside, and that is something that I hope we will be able to remedy. This is an example of how much opportunity we have to be able to take markets that maybe we're limited in areas, and with greenhouses and the right kind of an environment, you're going to find that there could be tremendous production. There would be a wonderful opportunity for, let's say, places like Hawaii or different areas of the country to grow foods all year round and supply them locally to people. So there's just a tremendous, tremendous area here with agriculture that is so significant, and tomatoes are just one of those aspects. Remember, without agriculture, we cannot grow and be involved in other areas of development. When you have an agricultural base that is strong enough to support you, and you can ship it out and have people in other countries buy it from you, but when you have a good agricultural base, then you're going to have a healthy economy. And not only that, you're going to supply a lot of jobs, but there is the opportunity for people that otherwise would have been committed to being on a farm to be about the business of developing their talents in other ways. It's a very tiny percentage of the population in the United States that actually is involved in farming, and it is a very important part of our economic balance. And also, something that people aren't aware of, employment in the industry was estimated at 2,987 full-time and part-time jobs, and total employment of these people impacts an estimated 8,231 jobs, and the labor-earned income of employee wages and benefits and business proprietor income was estimated to be $299 million. And again, there's taxes that have to be paid. That goes into state coffers, wherever you might be. Local, state, and federal governments all benefit. They get a good $30 million plus from just the tomato industry, just tomatoes. It's really quite interesting. And you can go in on the Internet and you can find out more information. But sometimes it's good to know about how significant this is. And if you study history, every area of history that shows a growth of a population and a civilization. They've just found a community down in Peru, I believe. Didn't even know it existed. And the whole basis of its phenomenal growth and development was agriculture, plus a product they didn't know these people knew about, and it is cotton. So there's all kinds of things that go on. It develops trade. It enables people to be freed up when you have an abundance of this, and you have developed your trade, and you go on. It's just amazing, the ripple effect, when you have a healthy agricultural environment. And the U.S. has been very blessed with that, and I hope we will continue to support our farmers and those growers that are very dedicated to doing what they do and also working at finding more ways of being able to deal with the elimination of the negative effects of the pesticides that we've used for so many years. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be taking a break. If you want to give me a call, call me at 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hip, hip, huzzah!
My lords and ladies, come one, come all, to the 11th Annual Washington Renaissance Fair at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington, during the first three weekends in August, beginning August 1st. Bring family and friends to become part of the excitement, cheering for your favorite knight as he jousts for noble causes. Gain an audience with Her Majesty the Queen as she knights young lords and ladies, or enjoy a tankard of ale and a turkey leg experiencing the wonders of the Renaissance.
Live the legend!
Gates open 10 o'clock.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna, and don't forget, this Saturday I'm going to be in costume for the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and that's at the Maris Farm. If you want more information, I regret I'm all out of passes. I don't have any more to give away. But if you want to find out more about it, go to the website Washington Ren Fair, and be sure and put an E at the end of the word fair.com, and then that way you'll get all the details that you need. Also, look for my booth. And I've got these huge yellow banners with gigantic red lions, both on the inside of the booth and on the outside. So look for that. My colors are red and gold. And so you'll see them, and you'll know exactly where I am. I'm doing many consultations for people, and I'm going to have some books on sale as well. And if you want to give me a call and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Telephone number 888-815-9756. Oh, gee, with all this technology, do you ever feel like sometimes how in the world are you going to keep up with it all? Have you wanted to get an iPod, but you look at your budget and you go, gee whiz, I can't do that. I can't get another toy. My budget's too tight. Well, I found some information that I wanted to share with you about how you can use your cell phone so it sort of acts like an iPod. And if you want to find the answer to anything, this just amazes me. I'm just absolutely astonished at what people come up with. All you have to do is text Google. Now, it's not the way you would spell it or see it spelled on the Internet. It's G-O-O-G-L. No E is added. And the number is 46645. And all you have to do is text any question, and you'll get the answer sent to you immediately for free. They don't charge you. If you don't know what a word means, just type define, and the word you'll want to know about, you'll get the definition straight to your phone. If you want to know about a good restaurant that's nearby, that's right. There is even an opportunity to find that. You type in restaurant and your zip code, and to find where a movie's playing near you, type the name of the movie and your zip code. You'll find that the information that's sent to you not only tells you where the theater is, but the show times, and it'll even give you a movie review. This is really amazing. Also, if you see something in the store, this I think is important. If you don't know if you're getting the best deal, this is what you can text, FRU11, FRU11, or 37811. 37811, and type in the product's barcode. Now, that's going to be listed on the item. You'll get a text back with all of the prices offered by internet retailers, so you'll know whether or not you're getting a good deal or if you can find it cheaper online. How is that for convenience? My gracious, all of this with your cell phone. Also, something that maybe you haven't considered. What if you become aware of a situation that you really say, I wish I had a camera? Use your cell phone, your camera phone, to get a license number. That way you won't have to write it down or remember it. If you see someone swerving on a road or someone hitting a car, you know, it's just a way of getting a record. And I had to chuckle when I found this next suggestion. If you come out from wherever you are and you've forgotten where you've parked your car, next time take a picture of the nearest identifiable landmark or nearest lot section sign with your camera phone. You'll be able to get instant recall right then and there. And also, there is something called 3DMobileEyes.com. 3DMobileEyes.com. You can download a free application that allows you to view live traffic cameras in your area on your web-enabled phone. Can you believe that? Then you'll be able to see where traffic is moving if there's an accident, and you can pre-program your regular commute so you'll always know what's coming up. Incredible! Also, if you say, gee, I'd love to have an electronic book, but I want to pay $300 to $500 for one, can't blame you for that. All you have to do is head to text2ph.com on an internet-enabled cell phone. They will let you know about hundreds of books and short stories you can read on your cell phone, and it won't cost you a penny. You can even choose the display that's easiest for you to read, and maybe even choose images of the book's actual pages or use your cell phone's font. Now, if your eyes are good enough, I don't know that mine would handle all the print on the cell phone, but my gracious, look at all of this ingenuity that people are bringing forth. Also, if you have an old cell phone, you can sell it for cash. Here are two websites that you can go to, sellforcash.com, that's C-E-L-L for cash.com, or cashmyphone.com, and you'll find out what the value of it is, and they'll buy it from you. I am just constantly amazed at all of the changes that are going on. I'm not a texter, but if you're a texter, keep in mind there are going to be stiffer and stiffer penalties. Accidents have been caused by people who have been texting. Understand, there's going to be a real liability if you do it when you're driving. That's beyond me, too, but that's just my bias. But people are doing it, and they're causing some major problems. So use common sense. Be willing to be aware of the fact that in some situations, it might not be such a good idea to text. Wait until you are in a situation, in an environment where you can text safely and not cause potential harm or injury to anyone else, especially if you're driving a car. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We've got a dynamic week coming up. On Monday, we'll be exploring RF. So remember, you are the master of your fate, you. Oh, the captain of your soul, wherever you go, whatever you do. Have a fabulous weekend, and if you can come out to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, do it. I'd love to meet you. Have a great one. It's a terrific day to be alive, and you've got a fabulous weekend ahead. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.